So Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the Jewish people. He's reminding them of all their past misdeeds, all the times they dropped the balls, and they didn't make the touchdown. One of the greatest sins of all time is the sin of the refusal to go into Eretz Yisrael. And interestingly, before Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the sin of the golden calf, which only shows up later, here in Parshas Devarim, in the third reading, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about this lack of faith that the Jewish people had and their refusal to enter the land of Israel. In the first chapter, we hear Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Jewish people, Vayishma, in verse 34, the end of the third reading, Vayishma Hashem eskel devrechem, God heard your words. These were the words of sedition and rebellion, the words of refusal to enter the land of Israel. And Vayikzef, God was enraged. Vayishav aleimar, he then made an oath saying, the Alshech points out that it doesn't say Vayishma Hashem es hashlichas, it doesn't emphasize God heard about the mission, or the aborted mission, or the mission that went wrong. It says Vayishma Hashem es koil devrechem. It says it was the kvetching and the complaining, the hue and the cry that was kicked up as a result of the Meraglim's report that was worse than all. That was the koil devarim, that was the most injurious and the most offensive. As the Sepharno says, based on the Gemara in Tainus, that it was the koil. It says bechisem bechia shalchinam, the Gemara tells us. You cried for no reason on Tisha B'Av. I'll give you what to cry about. And unfortunately, boy, have we had what to cry about on Tisha B'Av. So God made an oath, and the oath was, let me see if one of these people from this wicked generation will actually end up to be able to see this good land that I promised to give to your ancestors. In other words, you're not going to make it. You say you didn't want to go? No problem. Funny you should say that. You're not going. None of you are going to see this land. Zulasi, there's going to be a few exceptions. And the exception is Kalev ben Yefuneh. And the reason that Kalev ben Yefuneh is going to be different is Hu Yirena. He will see this land. V'loy etin esaretz. To him I will give the land, Asher Dorach Ba, that he trod upon. Ulevanov, and to his children. Ya'an, because Asher Milei Achare Hashem, because he followed God. And because he followed God, things will be different. Rashi tells us, Ha'aretz Asher Dorach Ba, what's the emphasis that he'll see the land that he trode upon? Says Rashi, this refers to Chevron, the city of Chevron, Shanemar, as it's written, it says they went up in the Negev, and it says, Vayavoy ad Chevron, they went up in the Negev. They were all in the southern Chevron area, but who went to Chevron? Vayavoy. Vayalu, they went up, plural, Vayavoy, one person. Who is that one person? That's Kalev. So Kalev, the land that he walked upon alone, going into the inner city of Hebron in order to pray at Maris HaMachpelah, that's the land that he will inherit. So there's an interesting difference here now between Kalev and between Yehoshua. Because Kalev, it says, is going to get this land that he trod upon. However, when it comes to Yehoshua, we're going to hear otherwise. And the interesting thing is that Kalev comes before Yehoshua. Why does Kalev come before Yehoshua? You would think Yehoshua was the more powerful of the two. So the Ibn Ezra says, because it was Kalev who quieted everybody down. It was Kalev who said, Shah! And everybody said, oh. He said, you think this is all Ben Amram did to us? You know what else Moses did to us? And the people said, oh, we want to hear. What else did Moses do? And then Kalev began to say, Moses took us out of Mitzrayim and he crossed the Reed Sea and he brought us the manna and so on and so forth. So really, without Kalev, Yehoshua wouldn't have gotten to first base. It was Kalev who got the people quiet enough to try to listen so he would be able to have some kind of effect. Whereas the Ur HaChaim says, Kalev had two virtues. Number one, that he was able to shake himself off from the machinations of the Meraglim. And not only did he not participate, but he actually confronted them. It's one thing not to participate. That people say, I'm not going to be involved in bad things. I don't get involved. I stand down. I watch it happen. Kalev didn't just watch it happen. He made it happen. He did something about this. And because of this, he merited two things. Because he removed himself from the eights of the Meraglim, he's not going to die in the decree that they died in. In other words, there was a decree leveled against them. He doesn't deserve to have that decree. And because he was ready to confront them, and because he showed courage in the face of their sedition and rebellion, because this Kalev not only will not die, but Kalev will come to the land and specifically will inherit the land of Hebron, the area of Hebron that he walked in. So this is how the Aruch Hayim explains the emphasis on Kalev going before Yehoshua. Subsequently, we are going to hear about Yeshua. However, in verse 37, something very strange happens. We hear about Moshe Rabbeinu talking about himself. He's not part of this, right? But in verse 37, it says, "Gam bi yis anaf Hashem." God was also filled with rage against me, "Biglalchem," because of you. Lamer saying, "Gam ato loy savishon." Not only will they not come, you won't come into the land of Israel either. Yehoshua ben Nun, Yehoshua the son of Nun, ha'omed lefanecha, he is standing before you. Hu yaveh shama, he will bring you there. Ose chazek, him you should strengthen. Ki hu yanchilenos Yisrael, because he is going to be the one to make sure that the Jewish people inherit the land. So we have Kalev. Kalev is going to go into the land of Israel. He's not getting stuck behind. In fact, he's going to inherit the area of Hebron. We have Yehoshua is going to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel, the promised land. And Moshe Rabbeinu left out. Gam bi yis anaf Hashem. Hashem is infuriated at me. And it was all beglalchem. And Rashi says, what does this mean? His anaf? What's his anaf? So Rashi says, his anaf comes from the term anger. So it doesn't say anaf, it says his anaf. And his anaf means he became filled with fury. Nesmali regas, God was filled with fury against me. Why was God filled with fury against Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Moshe do wrong? The Jewish people didn't want to go into the land of Israel. God was angry at them. Kalev said he would go into the land of Israel. God wasn't angry at him. Yehoshua is ready to go. God's not angry at him. In the middle, God's angry and filled with fury at Moses. What did Moses do? Why is God directing his rage against Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi doesn't say anything. How about everybody else? Oh, everybody else, no problem. Vetapchem, going into the fourth reading now. And those children, Asher Amartem, Levaz, yeah, you said that they would be totally scorned, that they would be overwhelmed, that they would be made into Ashmata. You said the children would never be able to survive. They'd all be wiped out. Uvenecha mashallah yodu, hayoim tovera, the young people who didn't know the difference in good and bad, hey mayova yushabo, they will come here. Them I will give. And they will inherit it. How about the rest of you? Oh, the rest of you. The Yatem and you all. Now it's time to take a left turn. Back into the desert you go. Not going to no promised land. You're going derech Yamsuf. You're going the way of the Reed Sea. Rashi says, Penulachem. What does this mean? This is what God said. Amarti lahaver eschem derech reichev eretz eden. I was going to take you in through the south, through the southeast, to the land of Edom, and you would be heading Litzad Safon, heading north, Likones La'aretz, heading into the land, Kilkaltem. You ruined it all with the sin of the Meraglim. Garamtem Lachem Ikov. You caused yourself a terrible delay. And the delay is going to be Pnu Lachem. Pnu, it means turn. Lacharechem, turn back. Turn back, v'telchu b'midbar, and go back into the desert. U'letzad yamsof, back into the Reed Sea where you came from. Sha'am midbar, Rashi says, ha'yu mahalchem bay, l'droymay shal harseir. That in the desert, they were going in the southern area of Harseir, south of Harseir. V'yu mafsek ben yamsof l'harseir. This desert was the buffer zone between the Reed Sea and between Mount Seir. Ata hi mashchu l'tzad hayam. Now you go back to the area of the sea. This is what they call the Suez, the Tesavavu is Har Seir, and you're going to go all the way around Mount Seir, Kol Dreime. You're going to be wandering along the south, Min Hamayrev LeMizrach, in heading in an easterly direction from the west, heading in the easterly direction along the south. How did the Jewish people accept this? Well, they didn't accept it very well. They said, No. Well, you mean we sinned? Do you mean to say we did the wrong thing? You mean to say that God is unhappy with us? Okay, I'm ready to go. Ready to go. And Moshe says, nah, too little, too late. You can't wake up now and say, oh, you mean to sin after you had the punishment and after the rebellion took place and after you refused. Now you wake up and say, okay, we're ready to go to Israel. It's not going to work. And in the balance of the fourth reading, we hear about the Jewish people who try to force Hashem's hand and try to go to Israel nonetheless, but they are not successful. All right, let's go back to rage and Moses. God is angry at Moses. Moses speaks about God being angry at him. Why is he angry at him? Biglalchem, it's because of you. So how do we understand this? Rashi says nothing. He just says what is anaf. His anaf means God is filled with rage. Doesn't say why God is filled with rage. The pasuk says biglalchem, because of you, but he doesn't explain that. Ramban, for example, explains that in great detail. Ramban says that it was because of your rebelliousness when you refused to go into the land of Israel that this caused us a huge delay. And then you continued to be rebellious. And what happened as a result of all that? In the end, Moshe Rabbeinu had his devastating encounter with that rock when the Jewish people needed water, but it all was a continuation. It's all because of you. Had you not rebelled, we would have gone straight into Israel. The Panim Yofes says the following. Lack of faith. That was the issue. It was lack of faith. Chayser emuna. And he says, this is lack of faith is what caused the Jewish people the fear and the unwillingness to go into Israel. So we're too afraid. It's too much trepidation. We're not going to be able to vanquish those nations. We will not be able to enter that land. And this chayser emuna, this lack of faith, inevitably caused a need for fortifying faith. How is faith supposed to be fortified? How do you fortify the faith of people who don't have faith? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock. And by speaking to the rock, he was supposed to demonstrate, you see, the rock doesn't give me a hard time. The rock doesn't rebel. I tell him what Hashem wants, the rock listens. But unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that. It didn't work out that way. In the end, he struck the rock. And because he struck the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, that's why Hashem was angry at Moshe. But why was there a need to speak versus strike the rock to begin with? It says the Panim Yofes, because of Chesed Emuna. Because there was a lack of faith. The lack of faith required a strengthening, a fortifying of faith. And because the lack of faith brought about a need for fortifying faith, and it was in that event in which Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to fortify the faith in Hashem, that everything went south. So that's the Biglalchem. That says all because of you. The Aruch Chaim says, if not for the sin of the Meraglim, do the simple math. What would have happened? Our sages tell us that if not for the sin of the Meraglim, the Jewish people would have gone straight into the land of Israel. And what would have happened? The Beis Hamikdash would have been built and it never would have been destroyed. Because Maisa Moshe Nitzchimim, if Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand to something, it could never ever collapse. It could never be ruined. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had led the Jewish people, everything would have been different. It's only because the Jewish people didn't want to go into the land of Israel. Because of this, there was a delay. Because of this, in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go in. So it's all Biglalchem. Biglalchem is your cause. If not for this foolish act of sin, if not for this act of sedition and rebellion against God, if not for this unwillingness to go into the land of Israel, things would have been different. So it's Biglalchem. The Chilyakar says, Biglalchem, same idea, he says. How do we end up here? This only happened, this whole event only happened in the 38th year of going out of Mitzrayim. 38 years! We're supposed to be in Israel for 37 years ago already. How do we end up in the 38th year? How do we end up in a situation where Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have, it's the 39th year actually, where Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have any water. Miriam passes. And because of Miriam, there was water. Now that Miriam passed, the people were thirsty. People were thirsty, there was a situation with a rock. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Had they gone into Israel, there would be no situation. So it's so obvious. This was the root source of all the problems. It was because of you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, blaming the Jewish people fairly and squarely. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Usher, says something very interesting. He says, do you know why Moshe Rabbeinu stayed in the desert? Do you know why Moshe Rabbeinu really had to pass terrestrially in the desert and be buried in the desert? Because these were his charges. These were his people. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was like a shepherd and the sheep are lost. You can't come home without the sheep. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has to remain in the desert. And then when Mashiach will come, and the B'tchias HaMesim, Moshe Rabbeinu will come back with his people. So Moshe says, Beglachah, when God said you couldn't come, that means I couldn't come either. I have to stay here together with you. And therefore, it's ultimately because of your virtue, it's because of what you needed. Your needs necessitated my being barred from the land of Israel. At any rate, we can see here that the Rishonim and the Acharonim discussed this whole business as to why Moshe Rabbeinu was barred from the land of Israel, why God was filled with fury against him, and why it's Biglalchem. What does it mean? It's your fault. And we have a discussion. It's not even so simple. Not everybody agrees. And strangely, Rashi says nothing. He doesn't say a word about Biglalchem. He just says the meter his anaf means that God became infuriated. How are we to understand this? The whole verse is out of place here. He's talking about Kalev. And then after he's talking about Kalev, he's supposed to be talking about Yeshua. He's talking about the people of Israel. These are the people of Israel did go to Israel. These are the people of Israel didn't go to Israel. Who else went to Israel? The children went to Israel. Who didn't go to Israel? The adults didn't go to Israel. Yeshua and Kalev, the two adults in the room who did get to go. That's it. And Rashi says nothing about this strange verse 37 where Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly inserts, and God was furious at me, filled with rage at me, and it was all beglalchem. What's the reason? How does this verse get here? And what is the meaning of beglalchem? So, to conclude today's class, we're going to go to Biyurei HaChumash. And the Rebbe points out something very, very interesting here at the bottom of page Lamed Gimel. He says, you know, this is not the only verse like it in the Torah. There is another verse very similar to this. It's found in one parsha from them, in Parsha Vaschana. And there, it says, and this is just, you know, a chapter ahead. This is the end of chapter 1. That's in the end of chapter 3. The pasuk says, Vayis'aber Hashem bi lemanchem. God became angry at me on your behalf. V'leishama Eli, and he wouldn't listen to me. Moshe Rabbeinu begged, pleaded. He wanted desperately to go to the land of Israel. God wouldn't listen to him. V'sham, and there, Masbir Rashi. Rashi does find it necessary to explain. He says, what does it mean, lemanchem? What does it mean, because of you? He says, it means, b'shvilchem, on your behalf. It was you who caused this. Atam geramtem li. You caused this for me. V'cheinu oimer. And similarly, we have a verse in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 106, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayaktzifu al mei meriva, they enraged God at the waters of contention. Vayeda la Moshe ba'avuram. It was bad for Moshe because of them. So Rashi does explain. Okay, if he explains it in Parshas Vaeschanan, why doesn't he explain it in Parshas Devarim? Especially when everybody else seems to be busy explaining this. Something's missing here. Hadavar derish bir. This has to be understood. Madua ein Rashi mefarish kanes hamilu beglalchem. Why does Rashi choose not to explain the word beglalchem on your behalf the way he explains it in Parshas Vaeschanan, where it says lemanchem? Very similar word. Beglal means by your cause. Lemanchem means for you. Because of you. Same thing. Just about. Yeshleimar. So the Rebbe here illuminates our perspective of the Chumash, and he says, here is the possible answer. Hasiba lekachu mishum shepasuk zer mefia kam b'derech agav. Because really and truly, verse 37 does not exactly belong in the narrative here. This is not the place for it. It only arrives incidentally. It's what's called in Torah literature a maimer hamuzger. A maimer hamuzger means, by the way, once we're on the subject, I'm just including this along with the commentary, but it's not the actual focus of the narrative here. All right, what does this mean? Haparsha kula, this portion of the Torah, oseket, is engaged with and deals with the chet hameraglam, the sin of the scouts. That's what we talk about here. Ubig zeda, and the aftermath, the fallout, the decree that was decreed be'ikvesav on the heels of their rebellion. Who was it leveled against? The decree was leveled against Dor HaMidbar, the generation that's proverbially called generation of the desert. Shelo yikonsu l'aretz, that they should not enter the land of Israel. So the obvious question is, here's a portion of the Torah that speaks about Jewish people refusing to go into the land of Israel. The sin of the scouts. The rebellion that ensued. What does that have to do with Moshe? Whatever Moshe did or didn't do wrong, it has nothing to do with not wanting to go into the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu was desperate to get the people to go into the land of Israel, and he was desperate himself to go to the land of Israel. So why are we talking about this here? Malaze ulegzeda shenigze al Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the connection between the subject matter here in the end of the first chapter of Deuteronomy and the story of Moshe, the narrative of Moshe at the waters of contention? That's Karev La'arboim Shana La'achimkin. It's almost four decades later. That story happened at the end of the Jewish people's sojourn in the desert after the passing of Miriam. Miriam passed on the 10th day of Nisan. So that story happens before the last Pesach. Because the next Pesach, they're already in the charge of Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu passed on the 7th day of Adar. The next Pesach, already there in Israel with a big carbon Pesach, is the last Pesach that they're not in Israel. The last Pesach, there's no carbon Pesach. And Miriam passes on the 10th day, 4 days before Pesach. And right after that is all this trouble. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu strikes the rock. How many days could the people have gone without water? A day? 2 days? Or was it Aleph Nissen? Or was it Beis Nissen? Couldn't have been further than that.
He was also complaining about most of the people that weren't there.
He's talking to the people and telling them the story that happened now. You're right. The people that he's talking to, for the most part, we're not present. But he's talking about what happened. But the story of Moshe with the rock is four decades later.
Almost at the end of the journey.
Literally almost at the end of the journey. It's a year before the journey ends, 11 months before the journey ends. And this story happened a year into the journey. It's a 38-year span here. So why is verse 36 followed by verse 37, followed by verse 38? Verse 36 is Kalev will go into the land of Israel. Why? Because he was born and he was ready to go. Verse 38 is Yehoshua is going to lead the people to the land of Israel. Verse 37 is the story of God being angry at Moses. It doesn't fit into the narrative here. The whole thing doesn't seem to make sense. Vahezber lekach. And therefore, the explanation in the way of pshat, there is another, the Malbim has a different way of explaining this, but in the way of pshat, the way of explaining this is, shadvorim mefim kan de derech agav, that this is included in the narrative now, incidentally. What's the issue here? The issue is lahazber es hevdel ben Yeshua v'kalev. We have to understand the difference in Yeshua and Kalev. Shnehem nitzlu migzeres derech midbar. These are the only two adults left in the room. They're the only ones who are saved from the decree against the generation of the desert. Now, b'yachas l'kalev, with regard to Kalev in verse 36, it says, "Hu yireno, he will see it. V'loy into him eten esaras, I'll give him the land." That's all. That's all. He will see it. He will get the land. As you may remember, Or HaChaim explains, he did two things. He got two rewards. A, he will see it. B, he will get the land he went. But that's all. But b'yachas to Yehoshua, more is said. It doesn't just say he will see it. It doesn't just say he will get a piece of land. It says hu yanchileno. He will provide the inheritance. He will be the one to pass the land on to the Jewish people. So how come Kalev just gets a piece of land and Yehoshua gets to administer the whole country? Kedei lahasber zeis, in order to explain why it is that Yehoshua's task is so vastly different from the task of Kalev. Mitzayin HaKosov es hasiba lahatolos tafkidzel Yeshua. The verse here interjects with an incidental. So why indeed was Yehoshua's mission and mandate so different than Kalev's? Well, I'll tell you why. It wasn't because of what Yehoshua did. It was because of what happened to Moshe. It was because Moshe couldn't do it, not because of what Yehoshua did. It's not because Yehoshua was so amazing in this mission. That's why hu yanchileno. But without verse 37, when you go from verse 36 straight into verse 38, there seems to be a disconnect. Yehoshua, Kalev went into the land. He refused to go along to Meraglim. He went ahead and confronted them. He went into Hebron. So Kalev is going to be the one to go into the land. He will see it. He will inherit it. That's all. Yehoshua, hu yanchileno. Yehoshua, he's going to be the one to inherit. He will administer the Holy Land. He will bring the nation in. Why? So the answer is, you have to say, well, because Moshe Rabbeinu was out of the picture. So in order to explain why Yehoshua gets this job, it has to be noted that it's be'ikvas ha'gzeda she'nigzera al Moshe shonim rabot la'achar mikin. And it has to be pointed out that the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu had a decree leveled against him many years later. And that's, of course, in Parshas Mei Meriba. That's the story, almost 40 years later, the waters of contention. Since that whole subject appears here as an incidental, this is not the place of it. So therefore, because it's only a Maimer HaMuzga, because it's a FYI, And Yehoshua is going to inherit the land for the Jewish people because Moses is no longer in circulation. So therefore, Rashi doesn't see a need to explain it here. He'll explain it when it's the actual subject. We see the precision of Rashi. All the Mefarshim speak about this. So why was God infuriated with Moses? Rashi says, I'm not going to talk about it now. Why not? This is not the time. This is not the place. This is not the focus of the subject. Keep your focus. Don't change the subject. Don't change the subject. Rabbi Greenberg told a cute joke. He was here the other day. He said this bank robber came in and he pulled out a gun. He brandished a weapon and he said to the teller, give me $10,000 in unmarked bills or you'll be geography. She said, geography? You mean I'll be history? He said, don't change the subject. Don't change the subject. This is not about Moses here. The only reason we're mentioning Moses is just to explain why Joshua got his job. It wasn't because of Joshua's excellence, but more because of the failure of Moshe. So me'achashah neiseh, because this doesn't belong here, Rashi doesn't feel compelled to explain it. Rashi will explain this. Where? He'll explain it b'mkoy me'ha'ikri, when that is the primary narrative, and of course that's not in Parshas Devarim, but that's only later on in Parshas Veschanon. Now we understand. Thank you.